If you'll turn them over to the Lord today, God is able to help you. He is able to strengthen you, to heal you. He's able to save you. Whatever your need is, He's a miracle worker. Amen. He can move in your personal needs, your family, your situation. God knows all about it. Praise God. Two verses, scripture from Luke chapter 22. Luke 22 and verses 31 and 32. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. You know that the enemy of your soul never rests. Satan never rests. He is continually in attack mode. He is always putting the people of God in his sights to target you, to target me, to target every one of us, target our lives, target our families. That's the enemy of our soul. You ever felt like you've been sifted? Have you felt like you were in the sifter? And the sifter was just, it was just that contraption that the grain was put in, and then it was shaken, shaken and shaken and shaken to separate the chaff from the wheat. And of course, God's intention through the sifting process is that we would be cleansed and that we would be purged of all the chaff, and the chaff would all be removed. But Satan's desire to sift you is not to bring about any good. He wants to destroy the grain with the chaff. He wants to shake you and to sift you and to destroy you. And he will. If he has his way, he will sift you. Some of you today may be in the sifter. You may be going through the shaking right now. You know, Simon's, his Christian name was Peter. Simon was his name before. And he's appealing to him and saying, "Simon, this is who you were. This is the old man." Because when you look at the previous verses in this text, there was this big debate that had arisen between the disciples as to who was to be the greatest in the kingdom. And it was a very terrible show of the flesh. Who's the greatest? Who's the most valuable? Who's the most important? And it was in a time like that, that was during this weak time, during this time of a fleshly display, that the enemy found an opportunity to get in there. And the warning was, "Simon, Simon, Satan wants you. He wants to sift you as wheat. He wants to get his hands on you, and he wants to bring about destruction. He wants to shake you, agitate you." See, the normal process in the sifting was, of course, that the grain would be separated from the chaff. But the enemy, when he gets a hold of you, he wants complete destruction. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy the potential of your life. He wants to destroy all that God has done in your life. He wants to destroy your family, your marriage, your home, your calling, your purpose, and everything that he possibly can. He wants to destroy. He's a sifter who wants to destroy your life and the potential of your life. It's interesting to me that Peter, even though he had his weaknesses, this was a show of one of the times in his life that there was this show of his weakness and his pride and his carnality is shining forth here in this example, which opened the door for the enemy to come in. But thank God there was a warning to him. Simon, Satan wants at you. He's looking for an open door. He's looking for a way to shake you, to affect you. You see, whenever the sifting process comes, it can be Satan destroying, or it also can be a time that God allows this in your life so that the purging and the cleansing process can really take place. What Satan means for evil against you, God can turn it around for good. There's some of you, I'm convinced, some of us, that we have gone through in recent weeks or months. You've gone through the sifter. You've gone through the shaking, the agitating. You've gone through the process of a lot of multiplied trials and troubles that have come your way, and you're wondering, Lord, what is going on? Why am I going through all of these things? One problem after another, one heartache after another, one trial after another. Well, that's the enemy, obviously, who wants at you, but he has to ask, just as he did in the case of Job. He doesn't have direct access to the saint of God, to the believer. He has to ask permission to come against you. So when he comes against you, he desires you, and the word there literally means that he is asking permission. He wants to be able to have access to you. And if God allows him to work in your life and to sift in the circumstances of your life, you can be sure that God is not going to fail you, but he's going to bring you through the shaking, the agitating, the troubling time that you might be in today. Amen. And so I want you to be encouraged today to know that God is at work, and even in the trying trials of your life, the shaking, the agitating trials and troubles that you find yourself in, that God has not forsaken you. God is with you. God is able to help you. So don't allow any of these things to destroy your confidence or your faith, your assurance that God is at work in the circumstance of your life. Just in this case, Peter and the other disciples are in this debate about who's the greatest in the kingdom. As I've already mentioned, it's a real terrible show of their carnal, fleshly nature. And the enemy is always looking for an opportunity to gain access to you. I mean, you just let down on your prayer life. You just forsake your commitments to the Lord. You neglect the house of God. You neglect the word of God. And you just let down a little window of opportunity, and Satan wants access. He wants to get at you. He wants to attack you. He wants to destroy you if he possibly can. He wants to come against you in the situation that you are in. But the Bible tells us that we are not to give place to the devil. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. Don't give him an opportunity. Don't give him a foothold in your life. Don't allow any of your shortcomings or failures to be an open door. But instead, come to the Lord and cry out to God and renew your commitments to the Lord, and don't allow these things to come against you. Satan is a sifter. He wants to not, he doesn't want to cleanse you or purify you. He wants to destroy you. And we're not to be ignorant of his devices. We need to be aware. Some of you have been placed into situations recently that are stressful. You're under pressure. And Satan strikes at times like that. You're under pressure. Multiplied trials. All kinds of things that are out of control in your life. Lord, why is this happening? Why am I going through these things? Why am I facing all of these trying situations? The enemy's looking for an open door. He's looking for access to you. He wants to shake your faith. He wants to destroy your faith and your confidence in God. You see, the thing about the devil is he doesn't fight fair. He will get you, he'll find you down, defeated, discouraged, and he'll kick you when you're down. He doesn't care. It doesn't matter. He'll attack you when you're really discouraged and when you're going through tough, difficult times. You're wondering, Lord, where are you in the middle of all of this situation? Have you left me? Have you forsaken me? Why are you not here with me? We are not to give Satan a foothold. Let's don't give him an occasion. Let's don't give him an opportunity. Because what he really wants to do is he wants to knock you completely out. He wants to cripple you and knock you out and keep you down completely and totally, defeat you. You see, Peter was a man that God had big plans for him. He had big plans for him. Peter became, you know, the leader in the New Testament church. He became such a powerful man of God, filled with the Spirit. No question that Peter was going to be a strategic leader in the New Testament church, and so it was obvious as to why that Peter was a target. You know, you're a target of the enemy because God knows the potential of your life. He knows the potential of your home, of your marriage, of your family, of your children. He knows the potential, and so you have become a target of the enemy. And he's got you in the sifter, and he's shaking you, and his sifting is to bring about your destruction. He wants to destroy your faith. He wants to destroy the potential of your life. Let me tell you, Peter was a man who failed the Lord, not on one occasion, but on several occasions. But it didn't stop the fact that God had a plan and a purpose and a calling for him and a ministry for him, and God was going to elevate him and he was going to use him anoint him to be the leader. You see, in this passage of Scripture, Peter is trying to elevate himself, and he sees himself as important. And that was really an open door for the enemy to get access to him. But later on, Peter recognizes, I'm nothing. He goes out, he weeps bitterly over his failures, and he recognizes, I'm nothing, and I failed the Lord. But in his weakness, God raises him up, and God positions him and anoints him to be the leader that God wanted him to be. And I just felt as I was preparing for this service today that there would probably be several of us in this service today that you have been knocked down, you have been crippled, you have been hindered, your heart is heavy, you're struggling because the enemy is trying to shake you and defeat you and destroy your faith. That's what he's after. He wants to destroy your faith. Just as he came after Job, so is he coming after Simon. But remember, you're a child of God. Remember who you are in Jesus Christ. You belong to Jesus. If you have been born again, you are a target of the enemy. He wants to destroy. He wants to sift you. He wants to destroy you. His desire is not to clean up the grain and to purify you and to make you into something usable. His desire is your utter destruction. But as a child of God, our trust is in the Lord today. And the sifting process is not a process of destruction. But the sifting process is a process whereby God is going to work His purpose in your life. You have to hold on to the Lord. The enemy wants to destroy the potential and your future and your life. But God wants to use even the worst circumstance that you're faced with right now to purify and to work in you. Remember that Joseph recognized the hand of the Lord in his life. Even all the things that he went through, the betrayals and all of the experiences of his life, he understood that God meant it for good. Even though that they meant it for evil, God meant it for good. And God can use the heartbreak of your situation you're in right now. God can use the sifting process, the shaking, the turmoil of your life. He can use that and turn that around for the glory of God. And he can use that which Satan wants to use as destruction. He can turn that around and he can do something great and mighty in the middle of all that. God means it for good. You belong to the Lord. You're a child of God. You may be in a great fiery trial. You may be in the sifter this morning. I'm convinced that several of you are. The Lord just put these verses of scripture on my heart for this service today. Some of you are right in the middle of the shaking and the sifting. You're going through it. And you can't sleep at night. And you're up troubled by the worries and the circumstances of your life. Satan means it for evil. He means it for your destruction. But God can use it for your good if you will allow Him to take the sifting process and to do something in you. Glory be to God. We need to remember today that in the sifting season that you might be in right now, that God has said, I have prayed for you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I have prayed for you. I have been so overwhelmed by the different messages that I have received over the last few weeks. Phone calls and cards from people who have said, I have been praying for you. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing to know that you have people praying for you. But much more important than that is the fact that Jesus Christ Himself is an intercessor. Amen. And He is praying for you in the sifter, in the trying circumstance that you are in. God cares about you and He is praying for you. He said, I have prayed for thee. I have prayed for thee. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Praise God. Jesus Christ is that one who ever lives to make intercession for you. He's praying you and He'll pray you through this situation you're in. If you will not lose heart, if you will not lose your confidence in the Lord. I know sometimes it's tough when you're being shaken and you're in the trial and you're in the turmoil of your circumstance. And you're wondering, Lord, when will it be over? You're wondering, Lord, when will this trying situation be over? Well, be encouraged today, folks. Be encouraged in your situation to know that He is praying for you. He is praying for you. Hallelujah. No matter what you go through, Jim Ann and Beth thought of you in recent days, praying for you, because this little family's gone through a lot of things in the last couple of months. Jim's lost his father. His mother almost had a stroke. Very seriously, the Lord brought her out of that situation. Beth's dad, very sick. Two of the girls were in a very serious car accident. Just one trial, right after another. Sometimes you feel like you're being shaken. Sometimes you feel like everything you've known and believed in and everything that's important to you, you're in the sifter and you're wondering, Lord, what's going on? I'm going through all of these circumstances. And some of you here today, maybe several of you are in the middle of this kind of a sifting time. And you don't really understand it all. But I want you to know that he's praying for you. He's praying for you. And certainly people that care about you and the church and different ones are praying for you. But the most important thing today is to know that when you're in the sifter, that Jesus Christ himself is praying for you. He said, I have prayed for thee. That's a personal thing. Amen. It's not just a general thing. I've prayed for you. I've prayed for you in your situation. You're not alone in the circumstance of your life. You're not alone in this trial, this problem, these burdens that you're carrying. Jesus said, I have prayed for you personally. I have prayed for you in your circumstance. Even before the temptation come, it's prayed. I prayed for you. Even before it ever happened, even before you got into this fiery trial that you're in, even before you got in the middle of the sifting that you're in right now, he was already praying for you before you ever got in it. Before, I have prayed for thee. And what was his prayer? His prayer was that your faith would not fail, because that's ultimately the target of the enemy. It's ultimately what he wants to do is he wants to bring you to the place that you do not, that you lose your faith and your confidence in God. The enemy puts you in the sifter and he wants to cause you to question, why am I really serving God? Where is God in the middle of all of this situation? Why am I going through these things? I'm trying to serve the Lord and almost to the point of giving up and losing heart. But Jesus said, I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Your faith would not fail. The enemy, the destroyer, yeah, he wants to destroy the grain with the chaff. But God instead will allow the circumstance of your trial and your burden that you're in to purify you, to work on you, to remove the chaff, to purge you, to make you, to cleanse you, and to make you more usable to him, more valuable to him whenever you allow him to do the work that he is doing. I have prayed for thee that your faith would not fail. And when thou art converted, now, this is a prayer that he prayed. He said, I prayed for you before you ever got in the sifter. And he said, when you're converted, or basically he's saying, I know you're going to come through this. You're going to come through this. When you're converted, when things turn around for you, it's going to turn around. Hold on to the Lord. It's going to turn around. Believe, he says, when you're converted, or when it's turned around, then you can strengthen the brethren. So basically what the Lord is doing is he's cleansing you, he's purifying you, he's working in you, and he's going to turn things around and he's going to make a ministry out of what's going on in your life. Right now, the fiery, trying situation that you're in, he's going to develop a ministry out of it. He's going to do something in you. And whenever he accomplishes it, then you will be able to strengthen the brethren. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know your trouble. I don't know your circumstance here today. But some of you are in the sifter. You're in the sifter. It's unbearable sometimes because you're being shaken. You don't understand what all is going on. Amen. In the middle of all of it, when you don't know what's going on, hold on to this fact. He's praying for you. He prayed for you before you ever got in the sifter. And he said, you're going to be converted. It's going to be turned around. And when it's turned around, I'm going to do something in your life and make a ministry out of it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word and the promise of your word. And Lord, I pray today for some several in this congregation. And I know, Lord, that as I made preparation for this service, I know, Lord, that there's some several that they are in a sifting season. They're going through it. And for some, it's unbearable. But Lord, I'm asking you, God, to encourage them, to strengthen them. Lord, would you remind them today that you are with them in the middle of all this. And you are able, Lord, to take the worst of circumstance and produce something, Lord, that is wonderful in us. Thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, for that. Oh, Lord, do a work of your Holy Spirit, I pray, in this service. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me?